But once again, the Bears are inadequate at the position of quarterback.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Andy Dalton, that's the plan B. How's this the plan B?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Andy Dalton is not that guy. And the Bears organization knows it. And Ryan Pace knows it. And Matt Nagy knows it. And that's why they try to get Russell Wilson.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network reporter Steve Wyche. Buccaneers linebacker Lavonte David. Coming up, CBS Sports college basketball analyst Clark Kellogg. Co-host of Brother from Another, Michael Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air here on the Thursday that we didn't get to see last year, which is the beginning of March Madness. The NCAA tournament 1 year ago at this time was already gone. And tonight we've got the first four. The first four games. Do not dare call it play-in games. Don't do it. And don't call the first few days of free agency the tampering window. Just don't do it. Don't call preseason games, exhibition games. These are all sorts of unwritten rules, please, in the sports world. So tonight we've got that, and then the brackets are all in front of us. Michael Smith, a brother from another, we're sitting here on Peacock, our streamer, and we're streaming every day, our streamer partners that put us on the air after Dan Patrick's show every single day. We're also on after Dan and DP and the Danettes on NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM Channel 211, every single day from 12 to 3 Eastern Time. It's free to get Peacock, so go get it, peacocktv.com, and watch us every day. If you're listening to us on this Rich Eisen Show radio, terrestrial radio affiliate, we say thank you as we're building that that affiliate list, if you will, to get bigger and bigger every possible year as we can. Mike Del Tufo and Chris Brockman over there. Good to see you guys.
See you, Rich. What's up,
TJ
Rich?
Jefferson. TJ Jefferson right over there.
What up, Rich?
On the Rich Eisen Show in his usual spot, my social media grandmaster. Let's start talking about the NCAA tournament. Is Clark Kellogg on the line, sir?
Yes, sir.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show after, I guess, we missed last year due to everything that went down with the virus, but March Madness with the first four tipping off tonight and then the Field of 64 through the lens of CBS Sports and Turner Sports. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show to help me fill in my brackets is Clark Kellogg. How are you, Clark?
Rich, great to visit with you, and I'm doing great. Healthy and safe. As is my family, I trust you can say the same thing. Flooded with gratitude and excitement to be able to do something we've done for decades and weren't able to do last year because of the coronavirus pandemic. So just extremely grateful.
Excellent.
And excited to be able to step into this 3-week run to a championship.
I feel the same exact way, Clark. So, all right, let's start. Baylor versus Hartford, go. You thought I was kidding. I really need you to help me fill up my brackets.
Well, you got that one. You don't need me for that one. I like the Bears. I actually like the Bears to come out of the South. I know my alma mater, the Buckeyes, are there, and they've been really good, resilient, tough all season long, coming out of the toughest conference in the country, in my opinion. But I like Baylor because of what I saw mid-season, early season from that team. And I think with the benefit of a few extra days of practice leading into the tournament, they will get back to that early mid-season form when they were clearly one of the most dominant teams in the country alongside with Gonzaga.
And we do have that part of the bracket up there in the South region. It's just both of those 8-9 and 5-12 games of the South region are in the same bracket as obviously the top seed right there. And to me, you know, those are the games in the first round that always leap out at me for a highly competitive contest that could actually give the one seed a run for their money, or the 12 seed that ends the season for a 5 seed, which is always, you know, obviously somebody that hasn't won there. Conference, but somebody who did have a nice run in their conference, maybe in their conference championship game. Out of the 5-12 and 8-9 games that are out there, which ones leap out at you, starting with the 8-9 that could actually give a one seed a run for their money in this tournament?
You know, it's interesting. They may not give Illinois a run for the money, but it would be an intriguing matchup if Loyola Chicago is able to get by Georgia Tech, who's been playing extremely well, although Georgia Tech lost. At least for this first game, they lost Moses Wright. I think COVID-related issues, and he's not available. So I targeted that 8-9 matchup as just one that was intriguing, and also the potential for the second round. The other one that really intrigued me was LSU-St. Bonaventure. LSU is an elite offensive team that sometimes struggles defensively. The Bonaventure Bonnies are an elite defensive team that can control pace. That just stylistically could be a really fun one to watch. And either one of those teams could be a problem for a Michigan team that likely plays this tournament without Isaiah Livers, an all Big Ten forward who does a lot for them. So those were the two that kind of jumped out at me. I know everybody will look at North Carolina, Wisconsin, because those are pretty strong brand names, and they've got size that could give Baylor some problems. But I like the Bears to be able to handle that next round reasonably well.
Yes, and, you know, trust me, when I saw LSU an 8 seed after almost winning the SEC tournament against – you know, Alabama, which is, if I'm not mistaken, is the 2 seed within that region as well. I'm sitting here thinking, with Michigan being banged up like that, that 8 seed for LSU seems to be a little bit low. Who else has been seeded lower than you think, just looking at this bracket writ large going into,
you know,
the first four tonight?
Oregon is a little low to me at 7. Not terribly so, and, you know, you can go a line or two either way. But Oregon would be kind of a dangerous team, I think, at that 7 seed stylistically, how they play. I tell you what, in terms of another team that may outplay its seed, the Georgetown Hoyas. They might outplay that 12 seed, Rich. I had them twice. One time I was doing it remotely when they came back and beat Providence, and I was in Gamble Pavilion 2 weeks ago when they lost to UConn and got handled pretty easily. But that run through the Big East tournament, the way Patrick has them playing hard, those seniors, Pickett and Blair and Belay, have really started to have the positive side of senioritis, where they're playing with nothing to lose, with great confidence and abandon, and on a mission. And don't discount the factor of John Thompson Jr. Leaving us dying this summer, Patrick Ewing coaching at his alma mater. I mean, those are galvanizing elements that sometimes can help a team make a special run through the tournament.
How about that one too, Clark, right? Georgetown with Patrick Ewing in Madison Square Garden. I know you know, a lot of the actual basketball was lost amongst Patrick wondering why he, you know, with a very rare for Patrick Ewing, don't you know who I am type moment, you know, about his credential needing to be presented in the building in which his credential is actually hanging in the rafters, you know. But what a great, I mean, that is just amazing to me that Ewing is maybe in the role of 1985 Villanova in a way.
Come on now. Hey, that's not far-fetched. I can see how you can connect those dots, Rich.
Right?
I can see it.
You know?
Oh, yeah, man.
Because
that's part of what makes this time of year special, because you know something like that is going to happen somewhere, perhaps. And why not the Hoyas?
Why not the Hoyas? The 12th seed. Now, Villanova in 85 was the 8th seed before obviously taking out those Hoya destroyers back in the mid-80s. So we've talked about Michigan being a banged up 1 seed. We talked about Illinois, and you mentioned about Baylor. Obviously, we're all talking about Gonzaga, which enters as, I guess, the strongest number one, certainly the top seeded team out of all the number ones. And the opportunity to go undefeated. We've been waiting for Mark Few to cut down a net. Do you think this is it? And they're going to go undefeated on the season in the process, Clark?
I do. I picked them in the bracket that I had to reveal after the selection. So, well, in the last segment of our selection show on Sunday, and I picked Gonzaga. It would be a phenomenal story on many levels from the standpoint of, one, we haven't had an undefeated national champion since the Indiana Hoosiers in 76. But two, amidst the backdrop of the pandemic, Mark Few and Gonzaga have been a big time program. I mean, they're elite as a basketball program. They don't maybe have the championships upset Kentucky and Carolina and Duke, Kansas, others have. But clearly in this last 15-year period, they've been right on the same level of those schools in terms of production and wins, sans the championship. So how appropriate and fitting would it be if, in fact, they got it done to do it in this circumstance in an undefeated fashion? And they're clearly capable. Not any discernible weakness that I can pick up, other than maybe a team can slow them down, grind them to a halt, make them play half court. Would they be able to grind out that kind of game? I say they could, but that would be the one area where I might hesitate. But I think they deserve the overall one seed, and they're clearly the top favorite in my mind to win it all.
And the reason why others might not believe that is why they still can't get over the fact that it's a small school from the state of Washington that perhaps much of America that might not be as attuned to sports because of the pandemic, let alone college basketball, would hardly even see play an entire half, let alone an entire game.
I think part of it, and there's still a pocket of folks out there who follow the game closely that give some credence to the fact that the conference isn't the Big Ten or the SEC or the Big 12. The Big Ten and Big 12 were clearly the top leagues in the country by representation and by quality of play top to bottom. And so that would be the one thing that those who are not in the camp of Gonzaga being able to do it, that would be one of the major pillars of defense. The conference doesn't challenge them enough. But Gonzaga challenges themselves in the non-conference schedule to the degree that they could have it this year and prove more than capable of playing against and beating anybody. And I don't think that changes because it's the tournament.
Clark Kellogg of CBS Sports will be in a studio with Greg Gumbel and the rest of the crew, including Wally Szczerbiak, as part of the CBS Sports, Turner Sports hybrid coverage of the NCAA tournament. I asked this question for my guy, Chris Brockman, across the way. Plus, we also forget, because we missed last year, how far does Syracuse go? Because nobody's seen the matchup zone before, and Jim Boeheim pulls off his usual magic
on,
and gets the Elite Eight or the Final Four.
Sweet 16, at least.
It's just like, has nobody seen the way he plays defense out of the 90 years that he's been doing it with Ronnie Cicely, right? So, I mean, how does that happen this year?
Hey, Clark, it's just one of those quirky things. I mean, Jim Boeheim is obviously, I mean, he's been doing it a long time. He's had unbelievable success. And knows his team and knows the game. I mean, I love hearing him talk basketball. He keeps it really simple. But they've got a real challenge, I think, against San Diego State. This team is coming off a year last year where they were going to be a relatively high seed. This team defends at a high level. They've got two seniors in Matt Mitchell and Jordan Shackle that have led them extremely well, shot-making and playmaking. And they've got other pieces. I think San Diego State prevails in this first-round matchup against Syracuse.
Oh,
although the
man.
Zone will take some adjusting to, but I think San Diego State has enough defensively and offensively to move on in that matchup.
So if it's when the score is 8-4 at the third television timeout of the first half, we'll know San Diego State's in trouble. Is that basically what you're saying?
No. As a matter of fact, if it's kind of a grinder, I think San Diego State would be fine.
Okay.
They'd be comfortable with that. Yeah, they would. They don't have to explode. I mean, they're a solid offensive team, but they hang their hat defensively.
Okay.
And then rely on the playmaking of Mitchell and Shackle. And so I think they'll low scoring wouldn't be a problem for the Aztecs.
All right, a couple more questions left for Clark Kellogg here on the Rich Eisen Show. The first four tonight, you've got two games of 11 seeds, two games of 16 seeds. The one, I guess, with the most blue blood in it is UCLA versus MSU Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage. Is that the game that leaps out to you this evening, Clark?
No doubt, clearly. As a matter of fact, my partner, Seth Davis, on Sunday night, you know, he had the brackets. He and Greg got them.
Yep.
We actually all got them probably 30 minutes before our show. But I tend not to look at them until we actually reveal them to the public. I just kind of like not seeing them early. But he had already lost his mind when he saw that matchup as a first four, and he almost blurted it out against my wishes. So, yeah, that one, as soon as I did look at see that one come up on the screen, I was like, whoa, that's – but, hey, though both of those teams are in, and clearly they were not in by much, so that's an intriguing first four matchup. And I haven't filled out my bracket completely yet, Rich, because I want to see who wins that one.
Okay.
That's the only spot I haven't filled out, because I think Michigan State could give BYU a little more trouble than UCLA might.
All right.
So I'm just kind of waiting on that one.
Okay, and then last one, give me the Cinderella. Give me the one if you could peg.
Well, you got to define Cinderella for me.
Okay,
Rich.
Let's
Everybody
define.
Everybody has a different definition for Cinderella.
All right, so somebody 6 seed or lower, and I choose 6 because I think that's what my Wolverines were in Seattle in 1989.
Okay.
So 6 seed or lower. That goes the distance, cuts down the nets, or even Final Four. I'll even lower the bar slightly, even though it's clearly still very pie in the sky. Who do you think has the opportunity to catch some fire, go the distance, and make a run here to the Final Four?
I didn't really see a 6 or lower seed getting to any Final Four, but if you're going to force me to choose one,
mm-hmm.
which you are doing your show.
Yes, sir. What do you think?
I like the Cinderella element of the Hoyas. I would go there.
Oh,
because they've got some shot makers. The young point guard, Dante Harris, is really starting to grow in confidence. And there's something special about the grit that Patrick Ewing brings to his team and that they take to the floor. So, and that region, I love Florida State, though, but they're a 4 seed.
They're a 4 seed.
I picked Texas as my non-number 1 seed to get to Lucas Oil Stadium for the Final Four. But if I hadn't picked Texas, it would have been Florida State. I didn't go below the 6 line, but if I had to, I would lean Georgetown.
All right. And then give me a couple first round. I lied just for the last question. First round upsets. Who do you think?
I like UC Santa Barbara.
Okay.
I like the matchup with Creighton, and I love the team. They defend. They've got a great player in Ja'Cory McLaughlin. He's terrific. I think Villanova is going to survive against Whitfield. They're going to find a way even without Colin Gillespie. But I like Utah State over Texas Tech as well.
All right. Those are some good ones. And then I guess last one for you is, how do you think the pandemic and the bubble is going to affect the way this goes? And by that, I mean, do you see we might see better play because there's no travel involved? There's just going to be they're just going to stay there and they'll be on a regular sort of home, if you will, practice schedule. Do you think we'll see a little bit better action or more upsets? Or I'm just wondering if this is going to be any different in any way, shape, or form, you think, based on the circumstances.
I'm not, that's a great question. I'm not sure, but I do believe that we've had a pretty good quality of play all season long. As I've watched games, and I've watched 3 digits worth of games over this season. So I think the quality has been surprisingly good across the board. I think that continues. I just don't know where COVID might rear its head with the team in a significant way. Thinking of Moses Wright and Georgia Tech, for instance.
Right.
Will we have 2 or 3 more of those with teams that would really suffer from the loss of a player? That's the one extra. But I think quality of play and the excitement, I think all that we've come to enjoy and love about March Madness will be on display. I don't think there'll be any added advantage for not traveling and having it in one place. I don't think there. I just think we're going to have similar to what we've had with the outlier of COVID maybe showing up in unexpected ways once the tournament starts, and that could disrupt some things. But otherwise, the game, the drama, the unpredictability, quality of play, I think all of that will be comparable to what we missed from last year.
All right. You got me all fired up, Clark Kellogg. I look forward to seeing you on my television screen. Miss seeing you do what you do last year, and let's catch up during the tournament. I'd love to have you.
Yeah, look forward to getting back. Enjoy the madness. It should be a run like no other.
Fantastic. Clark Kellogg, at Clark Kellogg CBS on Twitter, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. What do you think, Chris? I used not one but 2 questions, a follow-up on Syracuse basketball.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate
that. But you see what I'm saying? Every year it's like, and then all of a sudden it's the game's like 8-4, and it's just like, I'm in trouble with the matchup zone. They can't figure it out. You make some threes, you miss free throws, and then you make more threes, and then that's the way Syracuse moves on to the Sweet 16 every
Buddy
year.
Buddy Boeheim.
You know what I mean? It's just happened.
Yeah, it's happened a few times where we, questionable whether we deserve to make it, made it, and then made the Final Four. And so anything can happen. I'm not really sure we're going to advance, but you never know.
So I'm beginning to see right here, because every single time Georgetown was mentioned in that conversation, peripherally I saw my social media grand maester pump a fist
this guy.
Let's go.
Okay. And then, so I've got a 12th seeded Georgetown, and I've got an 11th seeded Syracuse.
Oh.
Can I mix it up between the two of you guys and see last longer?
Who goes further?
A last longer?
What do we got?
Yeah.
Like a breakfast situation?
What, you got to buy me breakfast when you lose? Is that what you're saying?
Breakfast situation.
Or vice versa. Let's do a breakfast situation. On?
Sure.
And then we need to know, like, there's got to be a minimum. Like, he can't just show up with, like, a McMuffin or something
that's delicious, bro.
You know what I mean? Like, we can't just how about this? Can't be a drive-thru.
Ooh, I like that. I can't go in the store in the middle of a pandemic.
Well, our cafeteria across the way is
fully
functional. Yeah. So
okay.
And it's bad.
So, but we gotta come on, gotta have a minimum. Bet. I feel like, remember you lost on a sports drink or something in year one, and you bitched and complained about somebody ordered like a $4 sports drink on you, and then you were pouting.
It wasn't part of the wager, and then piled on.
That picture.
It was like Rodney Dangerfield at the clubhouse, Give me four of those.
I lost in fantasy football one time. I had to buy dinner for the entire fantasy football league one year because I lost to a specific team. And then this, Murph, who's called in there, and he's cursed. By the way, Murph has not reappeared on this show after he called in and cursed on live radio and television.
He dropped it.
Okay.
He should know better.
It's so ridiculous. The guy rarely even, whatever. He ordered like an extra carpaccio. And
it was annoying. Annoyed.
And like three, and then instead of drinking like the tap water, sparkling another bottle. No, I'm just drinking sparkling. So no. So
I'm saying,
but it's just one sports drink. At least $20. Oh. At least
each
$20 breakfast.
Yes,
each
at least a $20 breakfast.
Look, I'm down. TJ, let's rock and roll. The Cuse
Georgetown
is going on a
Syracuse.
Run.
Who lasts longer?
Cuse is going
on a
run.
Yeah, I got a feeling I'm going to lose this one, but I'm down.
You just heard Clark Kellogg said, "Get the pumpkin ready, the Cinderella, and get the carriage ready. Let's go."
All right, I got a feeling I'm winning this one. Then, so
okay.
Let's go.
I get a breakfast just because I'm me.
No, you don't. Seton Hall's not in it. Okay. You're the only one who doesn't have anything going on.
It sucks.
Let's go Hoyas.
All right, we're coming back. We'll get an update on. I want to know what's going on with Virginia and Georgia Tech going into this with their COVID situations. Anything else going on in the sports world? Chris Brockman's news update when we come back on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least The partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, wondering if we should show Happy Gilmore to our kids. Susie and I were batting that around the other day. Well, poll question. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. Because Susie and I have talked about it. Like, we haven't, neither of us have seen Happy Gilmore in a long time, right? So we're thinking, should we do that? Oh, I'll go home. Yeah, hon. Look, Twitter says it's okay. Have there been worse words ever uttered with a child's sensibility potentially
it's
on
out.
The line?
It's out. It's out. At Rich Eisen Show.
I don't even care to know the answer.
Should Rich show his kids Happy Gilmore?
Susie's response. Are you kidding me, Rich?
Please. She'd be like, sure. Okay. Let's do it. Because
Twitter
says
everything should be decided
okay.
via Twitter poll.
No. Come on. He thinks it's the exact opposite, as a matter of fact. Says the guy who's like, Ryan Fitzpatrick should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Because you can't tell the story of the NFL.
Without you can't.
Him. But Frank Gore, you can just skip right over.
What,
he's correct.
What story, what chapter... Are we yes. saying yeah, that is, Ryan what, Fitzpatrick has just started?
Question, T.J. Jefferson. What in the book of the NFL?
Yeah, in the book of the NFL.
What chapter yeah. must be included that includes
how many
Ryan
chapters?
Fitzpatrick?
Quarterback.
I'm sorry chapters? You guys jumped out of your seat for every 3-yard run of Frank Gore. Ryan Fitzpatrick has a dozen thrilling moments a game. You couldn't name 12 in Frank's whole career.
Unbelievable.
Maybe you don't watch enough football. I don't know.
Wow. Wow, that's the guy who's going to buy me breakfast next week.
Well, that's basketball. That's a different sport.
Why is Georgetown your team?
Because why wouldn't it be?
No. Because honestly, like, I can't figure you out.
His map is like homeland. He's just like,
your allegiances in sports teams are just, I don't.
Okay, allegiances, but I'm loyal once I do have that allegiance, so.
Iverson that got you into Georgetown?
Iverson? How old do you think I am?
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
First of all, I don't subscribe to the theory that you have to root for a team because you live in the city. If
it
that
was
were the
Sleepy
case,
Floyd?
Imagine living on the banks of Cuyahoga River your whole life and you're a Browns fan. No disrespect to Browns fans.
You need
baby.
No disrespect to Browns fans.
You are not covering your tracks on that slide. No.
I said it after, which meant I really wasn't. See, when you say it before, that means you're trying to be disrespectful. No, it went back to my grandmother didn't really watch sports too much, right? But for some reason, back in the early 80s, my grandma loved Patrick Ewing.
Okay.
I don't know what it was, but Patrick Ewing was her dude, and she wouldn't watch me and my grandpa. We'd watch, you know, football, basketball, wrestling all the time. She had no interest, but whenever Georgetown played, she never left the living room. She loved Patrick Ewing. So I just can remember, like, in 82, rooting for Georgetown, and then of course Michael Jordan did that to me.
Yes,
and that kind of made me mad at him for a few years.
And who knew that that would be a theme of Patrick Ewing's right? basketball playing life?
But yeah, I'm huge Georgetown fan, and throughout, you know, elementary, junior high, high school, every Christmas I get like a Georgetown starter jacket or a sweatsuit.
All right, so he's legit. I mean, when you're gonna bring up your grandmother, you know, like, I mean.
But then I also started rooting for Duke around, but that was because of Grant Hill. I was a huge Grant Hill fan.
See, at some point, though, because you got to call a timeout,
because he's the son
right?
of the cowboy.
Yeah. Remember Street and Smith magazine and those used to be our Bibles back
then. Those were the best.
So I'd always read about this kid, Grant Hill, from like ninth grade, and his dad was Calvin Hill. He played for the Cowboys. So I was like, I start following his career. He went to Duke. I'm like, all right, bet. So I start rooting for Duke.
Okay, I'm writing these now down. Hold on a second. Let me write this down.
Georgetown?
Hold on. So I've got TJ Jefferson, my social media grandmaster.
Holler.
I've got Cowboys, Clippers, Sixers, Mets, Georgetown. An Duke. Occasional Duke.
Duke, yeah.
Not occasional, you know, all the time.
So it is all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Clippers, Sixers, mm-hmm. Mets, Georgetown, Cowboys, Duke. That's unacceptable, right?
What about hockey? Are you Penguins? Hockey?
Come on, Mario, the Pens, all day, every day.
So that you actually root for the hometown team in
that's
hockey?
That's his only one. There you go.
Well, I also did like the Colorado Avalanche, but I'm a Pens fan. That's it.
What's that for you? Because you're Joe Sakic guy?
That was Sega hockey back in '95. You guys might not know.
Because Patrick Waugh was a dynamite in Sega hockey.
Joe Sakic, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but no, I'm a Pens fan. That's my squad.
Penguins, Clippers, Sixers, Mets, Georgetown, Cowboys, Duke. You got your bases covered.
Oh, and Florida, Penn State and Florida State in football, college football, if we're going to keep
Penn State, Florida State.
Yeah. Hold on a minute.
Keep going. Keep going.
Now, Florida State, is that Deion?
That was Deion, okay. Yeah. That was 1,000% Deion. And
Charlie Ward.
Well, before that, though.
Florida State, Penn State, Penguins, Clippers, Sixers, Mets, Georgetown, Cowboys, Duke. Now, here's the problem for you. Where are the championships? I mean, you've got all these bases covered.
Here are the championships.
Duke. It's Duke, like Duke.
Florida State.
When's Florida State won a championship?
It's been a while.
College football?
But it's been a while.
Like
TJ, like this
Jameis
century,
Winston won 4-5 years ago. Florida State won the national title, wasn't it?
Seven years.
Okay.
Okay.
Duke like, basketball, oh, Florida State, and the Penguins. They're the only ones who bring any gold in the money.
I mean, if you're going to, for everybody who's out there, all right, this is great. I love
you
this.
Need a map,
I'm a sports
for
fan, man.
Out there, if you're going to say, okay, I love all sports, I love basketball, football, baseball, hockey.
I did have a news update.
Okay, no, we'll get to that.
Oh, this is
great. No, this is terrific because I think I'm sure there are a lot of people watching on Peacock or listening on whatever, however they're listening. They know a lot of people like TJ, and because that where you are a sports fan, it's just like you've got your diehards. That's it. You got your team, your hoops team. You got your football team. You got your baseball team. You got your hockey team. Your maybe soccer team. You've got that going on, and you've got a couple of colleges that you either went to or you grew up in the town, or you grew up in the state or what have you. And that's it. That's who you're rolling with. That's who you're rolling with. And at some point, you know, if you're so blessed to get Tom Brady drafted and then all of a sudden you're in. Okay. Celtics. I mean, the aughts for you will never, you'll never have it again. Ever.
No, it was great.
Okay.
It was amazing.
So all your Boston teams, it was
a lot of parades.
Exactly.
A lot of parades.
But when you go Florida State, Penn State, Penguins, Clippers, Sixers, Mets, Georgetown, Cowboys, Duke, I think you got to be a little more judicious about where are you going? I mean, Duke is the engine, okay? Duke's the engine and everything else. And Cowboys, once upon a time, you know, they're a pretty good engine.
I'll wait till this year.
Where else is it coming from?
Well, it'll be Super Bowl 56. That'll be the first thing.
Oh, my God. Am I wrong?
The World Series this year.
It's not right. It's just like
the World Series.
When Jacob DeGrom throws a no-hitter in Game 6 of the World Series, that's win it all.
That sounds kind of crazy.
If I suddenly said, you know what, I'm going to open things up. I'm going to open things up from Yankees, Knicks, Rangers, Jets. Mm-hmm. I'm going to open things up
Michigan.
And I'm going to open things up for Michigan. A number of people are like, oh, I heard you went to Northwestern, right? And who do you root for sports? I'm like, please. You know, like, what are you talking about?
And you live out here, so you could go Lakers.
Oh, I could do all
Kings.
Of that. Certainly since it's a Lakers town.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, so at any rate, you gotta come a little more correct.
Tighten the rotation.
Tighten the rotation. Get a better rotation.
That would, you know, see, that would
either
be
either tighten the rotation get a better rotation.
First of all, that would make me a bandwagon jumper, which I'm not. I like who I like, and because
but
I
you
watch,
like everybody. I mean, exactly. Honestly, like,
well, if you watched as like much basketball as I watched, then you need more than one team.
This guy's on the roulette table, just betting every number.
I was about to say,
just betting every number.
Literally. He's got odds on the 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, and 10, and he's rolling craps like almost every roll.
First of all, right when I'm craps, it's like ruined right the field. I would be, I stay on the field.
If TJ's sports don't fandom pass was don't a craps pass table, we're on the don't pass line. We're not don't pass people. We no, said don't
definitely
pass
not
people.
That is bad karma.
This sounds like a lot of hate
when
going
it makes
on
you
right
money,
now.
You're you know don't I mean pass.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's just
these
like
are, these are things that I enjoy that makes me happy.
I've been hanging with you for almost half a decade in terms of seeing you every day.
Oh, my cheeks and
half a decade?
In terms of seeing you every day? Like, what? When did you first walk onto the set every day?
Like 18.
Okay, so I feel, like, and I'm heard of the, I mean, Georgetown for the first years time. Like, how much Georgetown do you ever hear him talk about?
Zero. I mean, and I mean, he's like, I've heard of the Georgetown
Clark
thing before.
About zero Georgetown being
point.
By yeah the way, anyone zero on earth can tell that knows me knows I'm a Georgetown
I've heard no, the Georgetown on thing before, which makes
you've
us
heard
more
all old of them before.
And I've heard all of them.
I also didn't know that you had to calm down the rock on the set of Pumped one funny day either.
Yeah, see, you guys think you know everything about me. You that know, was, there's a lot of stuff you don't know.
Can you quickly tell me what's going on with Virginia and Georgia Tech? Are they ready to go for the tournament? Okay. Have they cleared all their COVID protocols?
Real quick, Virginia has not yet. So the NCAA just released, it's done over 9,000 COVID tests heading into the tournament, which starts tomorrow.
Right.
8 positives, one of which was an official. So that official and 5 other close contacts have been sent home.
Yeah, I heard that. Like Valentine,
Teddy Valentine.
Yeah, I know who Michigan fans. That's like
so
a,
we can't make
like
it all about him.
Word. He's like one of the top officials. And yeah, and because their rooms weren't ready and they went out to dinner.
Right. So Virginia arrives tomorrow in Indianapolis.
Okay.
They still need to complete 2 rounds of testing and quarantine before being cleared.
Oh, good luck to them.
Georgia Tech, however, is going to be without its best player. Moses Wright is out for both games this weekend, most likely, should they advance. He is still dealing with some COVID issues.
Wow. Okay.
And he's been
well, I hope that, because I can't imagine that teams and players get through the entire season as much as they have to get to this moment, and then
I know
a COVID curtain's brought down.
Brutal.
Would be terrible. Just absolutely terrible. And do we know, did they announce who the teams that are would replace Virginia would be?
I haven't seen. I know Duke anywhere raised its hand and said they would volunteer to be a fill-in team.
Okay. Let's take a break, come back. Michael Smith, let's see what's on his mind and on the brother from another docket that we'll take you to right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Oh. We'll have enough time to tell Michael all the teams TJ roots for and see what his 2 cents are on. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Brother from Another is the show that follows us. We'll get to Michael Smith in a second. There is breaking news out of Las Vegas where the Raiders have signed. I remember earlier today, I'm like, well, Rodney Hudson's going to go from Vegas to the offensive line in Arizona, protect Kyler Murray, and go and make sure that he has time to throw now to A.J. Green and DeAndre Hopkins, among others, and then they'll blow open some holes for Kenyon Drake. Silly me. Tricks are for kids, I guess. He was in the business at the time of signing a 2-year deal with the Raiders. So I guess Josh Jacobs will get a little bit of a blow as opposed to, you know, and you know, sometimes he was banged up a little bit. This means nothing in terms of the Raiders' love and desire of Josh Jacobs.
just a little bit more depth, a little bit, give him a little bit of a blow. And
I think Kenyon Drake, too, more in the passing game than Josh Jacobs.
I'm trying to make heads and tails about what the Raiders are going to do. We'll see what they do in the draft as well. But now the running back position, is that Chase Edmonds now going to get the gig there? And maybe what if the Cardinals go ahead and draft like Travis Etienne or Najee Harris?
More speed.
Go.
Kyler Murray MVP odds. Take a look, people.
Okay. Now we turn to our friend Michael Smith, brother from another. We take you to his show every single day right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. How are you, Michael?
Good. I'm glad you did that breaking news buffer there, because, like, how am I supposed to follow up that start bench cut? I mean,
What we just showed to the Peacock audience with King and Michael Key. He's so
funny, man. That was hilarious. So I'm glad you kind of introduce the Kenyon Drake signing in between. So thank you for that. How y'all doing?
We are better for talking to you, sir. What's on your rundown today? What should we expect? What do you got? What's on your mind, you and Michael Holland?
Nothing like a start bench cut, which, by the way, just, you know, in case you were curious about my take on it, it was obviously you start, if it bleeds, if you kill it, because it could be used universally.
Yes, sir.
I use it in conversation all the time. Whenever there's an obstacle in my way, you know,
if it bleeds, you can kill it. Okay, very good.
But there's no way you cut get to the chopper. It's too iconic, and I don't care what the rationale is. But anyway, I'm sorry, I just had to weigh in on that.
It's all good. Predators is a timeless film. So.
Timeless. Yes. You know, on a more somber note, we're still going to unpack the shootings in Atlanta yesterday. I think it's important to keep that conversation about the surge in violence, in aggression, verbal, physical, and in some cases as a fatal violence toward Asian Americans. So we're going to continue to try to tackle it as best we can. This Deshaun Watson story just keeps getting more and more serious. We'll also talk about the increase in the more commonality, I guess you could, if you will, when it comes to triple doubles in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks made a big trade in the NBA. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Buccaneers. And, of course, get into some free agency goodness when it comes to some of the big winners across the NFL.
We didn't talk about that acquisition by the Bucks. I have a bunch of players across all sports who, when I watch them play and I see them spill their guts out, either on the field or on the floor or on the ice, and I just like their game in general, and that their want to sometimes spills out on the floor or other places too and is contagious for everyone else. PJ Tucker's one of those guys for me.
Yeah,
and I like that. He's going to toughen up. Like, you want to come at Giannis, you're going to have to go through PJ Tucker. I kind of like his sort of, you know, for the lack of a better analogy, Oakley Mahorn type mentality that he might bring to this team that needs potentially some toughening up. I like that move.
They need some versatility for sure. And look, he's 35 years old. He's not having a good season. He may not be the PJ Tucker that was, further revolutionizing small ball with James Harden in Houston as recently as last season, you know, and before that. He may not be that guy. But I just applaud the Bucks, who, you know, quietly are getting their act together. I applaud them for making this move, and it could be a precursor to other moves. And I think we've all – no, I'm not going to say we've all. I'm sorry. Don't mean to generalize. A lot of people, because of how brilliant Harden has been in Brooklyn and how good they look without Kevin Durant, as well as the Sixers, how good they've looked all season and even continue to look in the absence of Joel Embiid, kind of called the Eastern Conference race and somehow, some way, forgotten about the two-time MVP and a team with the best record in the East last season in the Milwaukee Bucks, who are still going to be a factor in the Eastern Conference and potentially in the finals. So, no, I love the move as well, P.J. Tucker. And I like P.J. Tucker a lot, not just because of his game, man, because of his shoe game. His shoe game is obviously second to none. So there's that, too.
Yeah, my guys, T.J. and Chris Brockman, are more attuned to that than I am. And so
he's second to none in the league.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He's the guy. He's the GOAT.
He's second to none.
Okay, he's the GOAT. Well, I kind of like that move right there. All right. And so what do you say before I let you go?
Yeah.
You must know people who say, I've got more than one team in a certain sport that I root for. What would you say if somebody said, you know what, I'm a fan of the Clippers, Sixers, Mets, Penguins, Florida State, Penn State, Georgetown, Duke, and the Dallas Cowboys. What do you say to somebody like that, Michael?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I lost track.
Now let me fill this again.
I feel like Oprah right now. What? I lost track of that entire list.
Let me just say, this person's from Altoona, Pennsylvania. And they I like Florida State, Penn State, the Penguins, Clippers, Sixers, Mets, Georgetown, Duke, Dallas, Cowboys.
Okay, you know what I would say?
Okay.
I would say that person's a hoarder, is what I would say. Because that person sounds like somebody whose rationale, if they haven't moved around all these different places, and they don't have some personal connection to all these different communities or teams or franchises or what have you,
mm-hmm.
I would say that that person must really be holding on to some specific memory. There's got to be a story with each of those teams that that person decided to adopt a serious rooting interest. That person is a hoarder, and that person is probably a stalker and is incapable of breaking up with people. Because in 1986, here's where I was when the Mets beat the Red Sox, and I'm a Penn State person because I'm from Pennsylvania, and I'm a Florida State person because I like the tomahawk chop.
Dion.
I mean, it's like they probably got all kinds of weird rationale. Who is this person, by the way? Is this person in our company right
yes,
now?
Yes, it's T.J. Jefferson, who loved Florida State because of Dion, Penn State because you're from Altoona, correct? The Sixers because you're from Altoona, Penguins because you're from Altoona, Mets because he's a masochist, Georgetown because his grandmother loved Patrick Ewing, Duke because he loved Grant Hill, whose dad played for his Dallas Cowboys, who he was a front runner of, and the Clippers, I still have no friggin' idea.
That, you know what? It's insane. But it also makes sense. But you're a hoarder, aren't you?
Hey, Michael, you can just – I used to live with Michael Hawley in college. You can ask him all about me. He'll tell you. Ask
so
him.
Are you a hoarder?
Michael
Hawley
in college?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Are you a hoarder? Answer his question.
I'm more of a pack rat than a hoarder.
Pack rat. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely a pack rat.
That's a polite term.
I'm a collector.
But not
I'm
a hoarder.
Collector.
It's a polite
term. Wait, you live with Michael Hawley? Talk about burying the lead. Why haven't we discussed
in college.
This?
Yeah, Michael, we went to college together. He was a little bit older than me. Michael Hawley was a guy who went.
I know y'all went to college together, but live with is a whole different thing.
Yeah, as he'll tell you, he was living with someone, a female, and I think something may have happened. Happened, and he, much like Oscar Madison, got put out in Log Company. So he came and crashed on. You know, he crashed with us for a little bit.
Okay, there you go.
Me and Michael Hawley go back to. I met him when I was 18. So it's been a long time.
Way back when you only rooted for 5 teams instead of 10.
Probably.
I don't know how you keep up with. That's like having 5 different fantasy teams. Like at a certain point, those things all conflict. At a certain point, it's just like, wait, what am I rooting for today?
I know Sixers Clippers in the finals is an entire possibility.
One day it's going to happen, and you're all going to feel stupid.
Could be this summer. Could be this summer.
You're not a monster. You're ahead of the curve. Huh?
Yeah. I don't know what happens first, that or Jacob DeGrom gets more than 2 runs of support for each one of the starts.
If that happens, he's winning 30. So
that's my favorite. The masochist part is my favorite.
Thank you for the call,
Michael.
We appreciate it. We look forward to your show, Brother from Another, coming up in just a few minutes right here on Peacock. You take care, Michael.
That'll be good.
You bet. That's Michael Smith. And as always, they talk more than just sports, as you surmise there, based on what's on their rundown. Brother from Another with Michael Hawley and Michael Smith every day right after us on Peacock. You got the final poll results of poll questions that you termed legitimate and also not real, even though they're all poll questions that we have.
We also
put
have
out there.
Giants pass catching news.
Is it Galladay? Is he there?
Kyle Rudolph to the Giants.
Oh, okay.
Kyle Rudolph.
All right. Very good.
All right. Poll questions. Rich, should you and Susie show the kids Happy Gilmore? 93% yes.
What a shocker.
Who you got? Frenzy or Madness? Madness, 53%.
I think that's recency bias.
NFC East favorite this year, the Washington football team, 51%.
Oh, where's Dallas?
33%.
Dude.
Most impressive free agency so far, Patriots, 51%, Bucks, 49%.
That's crazy. Most impressive, it's more, they've spent more. That's about it.
They retooled the whole team.
They did. They sure did. We'll see how that works out. Super Bowl's back on.
Sixers and Clippers are going to play.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And the NBA Finals one day, guys.
On our show tomorrow, Doug Peterson, the Super Bowl winning head coach, as Wentz and the Eagles had their say today. We'll chat with Doug Peterson tomorrow. And the actor Martin Freeman will be on Friday's show as well. But we'll take you to Brother from Another on Peacock coming up on the radio. We'll see you Friday.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.